and seek the face of God. We're going to the book of Daniel, and we're going to the 9th chapter. This is chapter 9, and we're going to deal with several who have prayed in the Bible this morning and some of the results of them and what's happened through the means of praying. Praying is what needs to be done. And let's be prayer warriors. I pray that I become one. Amen. Pray more than I've ever prayed. I need to pray more. All of us need to pray more. We can pray too little, and that's the way we do it, but we can't pray too much. That's a fact. In Daniel chapter 9, we want to start reading at verse number 3. This is Daniel, and he's starting to set out to do something for the Lord. He's already been doing some things in this book. But here is a special prayer. The 9th chapter of Daniel is always special. And it said, "And I set my face unto the Lord God." Now that's a serious thing right there. Set your face to the Lord. And we begin to look at Him. The 9th chapter, verse 3. "And I set my face unto the Lord." To what? "To seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Now there's a lot of preaching in that chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel was not just getting down and saying, "Now lay me down to sleep." He was in serious mindedness when it comes to praying. He was a prayer warrior here. And he was not playing around. He was serious. He wasn't quoting prayers or having prayerettes. He was in prayer and supplication, and that serious-minded prayer. And it's through fasting and in sackcloth, which is like burlap and ashes. Of course, we know what they are. In other words, he was there before God in humility. Amen. He was not trying to prove to God that he was anything. He was trying to show God that he was serious-minded and his heart was serious when it come to praying. So in this 9th chapter, verse number 3, Daniel is beginning to get in touch with God. And brother, he's not playing, as I just said. Verse number 4, he said, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession." Last week I said there are some things that happens when you pray that needs to be, there's an adoration and some confession. And I went on with some other list of things that needs to be done, submission and restitution. All that is in prayer when we pray. And if we're going to have serious prayers. Now, I believe he adored God. I don't believe we'll ever pray until we get the place that God is number one in our life. Our prayer life suffers today because we don't put God at the highest pedestal in our heart and life. We got a need or a problem. Many times, and you listen to me, many times we'll speak to our friends or our family concerning the need of our life before we even speak to God about it. Amen. I've seen that happen over and over and over. I've done it myself, and you've done it yourself. And then when all else fails, and friends can't help you, and you can't figure it out, and nobody else can give you any help on it, then you turn to God. And we're using God then like a spare tire. Amen. And so what happens? We miss the mark. And what we need to do is, first of all, realize that everything, not just part of our life, not just some things in our life, but everything, God is in charge of it. Amen. And He knows how to handle it. He knows how to handle it before we ever get there. God is, many times He puts us in them positions to get us to Him. Think about that. Somebody said, "Why would this happen?" Nothing happens but what God don't already know about it. A lot of things come our way. Somebody said, "Well, all the bad things come my way." God has allowed them to come your way. And that's for a purpose. He's a sovereign God. He controls it all. Amen. You can just say that across the top. He does it. And God knows how to get our attention. And I believe sometimes if I was trying to seek Him first with all my heart, there's a lot of things I wouldn't even have to face or go through. He knows how to get my attention. And that's the reason I have to pray more. God knows how to make you pray. If you don't pray, He knows how to make you pray. He knows how to put you on your knees. Amen. And so if you don't go voluntarily and you don't have a desire for it, God can put you on your knees. Remember this, and I go over it again. I've said it over, 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 and over. And I'll continue to say it. When we're studying the Word of God, God is speaking to us. He's given us direction. And when we speak to Him in prayer, that's when we're calling upon Him and we're doing the speaking then and we're getting direction. Now, I've said this over and over and over. Some people have asked me many times down through the years, which should we do first, pray or study our Bible first? Which should we do? And usually I look at them and say, well, really, it don't really make much difference, but I have a preference. And I'll tell you what my preference is in just a minute. But if we, it don't matter, if you read your Bible and if you read it seriously, open-mindedly and open-heartedly, and if you'll study it the correct way and let the Spirit of God direct you, I'll guarantee you the Bible will drive you to your knees. You'll see a need of calling upon a holy God. And if you're studying your Bible, it don't make you pray, you're not studying your Bible correctly. Amen? Just put that in your pipe and smoke it. Amen. Think about that. I mean, give that some little consideration. Secondly, if you pray and seek the face of God and get in touch with the third heaven, I'll guarantee you God will drive you to the Bible. So one of the two will lead you there. Sometimes you've prayed and it hadn't led you to the Scripture. Sometimes you've been to the Scripture and it hadn't led you to your knees. We didn't do it correctly. All right, if we do it right, we'll drive us one or the other. But personally, I like to pray first. And the reason I like to pray first is I lay my Bible out and I pray, Lord, as I open your word, clean my heart. Get anything out of here that might hinder my mind and my life from understanding your book. And give me a clean heart and a clean mind when I open a clean book. Amen. And this is a clean book. Amen. It's the Word of God. And so I found out personally, for me, it's better for me to pray first. But I'm not going to tell you that for you. Amen. But I believe either one of them will go all right. You just follow that rule and I'll guarantee you it'll help you. It's help me. Amen. I've learned a few things down through the years of studying it. Used to just study and not pray. And I used to pray and not study. You remember what I told you that happens? What happens if you do that, don't you? Amen. You study and don't pray. You get filled with knowledge. And you get puffed up. You know more about the Bible, but you don't know how to use it. Amen. That's what happens. You study. Amen. And it gets that way. And then if you just pray and don't study, what happens? You get fanatical. And you're looking for the Spirit of God to move all the time. You shout. And that's why some of these churches go 6 weeks without a sermon. I had a fellow not too long ago, he said, we hadn't had no preaching in our church in 6 weeks. Said, we go every service and we just shout and run the aisles and have a good time. And I told him, I said, that's dangerous. God put the preaching out in the forefront, and that's what we are to major our lives on at the house of God. Preaching. God wants us to get the preaching of the Word of God. Of course, I've been in some of those churches too. If that's all I heard preaching, I probably won't shout too, all right? Well, I get off that. That's meddling. But anyhow, seriously, minded this morning, here's old Daniel. He's down to business. Verse number 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. He adored him. God had already been close to him. He knowed him. He has experience with God. And he said, and made my confession. And that's what I was talking about a while ago. You need to confess everything before him. And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. He put God at his rightful place. And I'm not saying putting God... and not saying that in a bad way. God needs to be first. When we pray, that's one of the first things we need to do is put God at the highest pedestal. Amen. And exalt Him. And major on that. Praise God. And I'm not saying just make up words. Our prayer life, if you will, just be honest with me, your prayer life a lot of time is just consistent every time of just words. Forms and fashions we go through in praying. Amen. And repetitions. And we'll get in those ruts that we dig for ourselves. And our prayer life is just right, basically, right on the same thing every time, right? Amen. Well, you look at these people in the Scriptures that prayed, they were different. And so they put God at the right place and, I mean, adored Him. Verse number 5. Notice what Daniel started when he said, when he prayed, we. Now, that's a key right there. Look at that. We. Now, who's praying? Who is praying? Daniel. Where do you get a we? Daniel. He's praying. Now, and here's something that I believe we've come to in America. We have missed this part. He said, we have sinned. Who's he talking about? He's talking about his people. Not only himself, but his people. The Jewish people here in this particular place. And how often do we get down and say, oh, God, touch America. She's walked away from you. Where's the we? Haven't we done our part of it too? Do you think this morning that we're free of that? No, sir. We, our country, we have sinned. We've sinned against God. Now he said, we have sinned and committed iniquity, that's sin, and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Now, how many of you would like to get down and begin to pray that and say, we have committed iniquity? We don't like to say that. We don't mind praying for America. She's committed iniquities. We can pray for America in that respect real easy, can't we? But it's hard for us to say we have committed iniquity. It's hard to put ourselves in the same boat. Because if you look at some of these things, you'll look at it and say, well, some of them things I hadn't done. But if any of them you've done, you're guilty. Amen. How many sins do you have to commit to be wrong? One. How many commandments do you have to break? One. Amen. All right, one. And he said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. You said, oh, I'm saved. And you live without sin now? Amen. Yeah, you can dream about it, but no, you sin. I have. All of us have sinned. And have committed iniquity and have done wickedly. Oh, I ain't done wickedly. I've done bad, but I ain't done wickedly. You see where I'm coming to this morning, what I'm saying? If you sin, it's wicked. Any sin's wicked in the sight of God. We got them measured up, little and big. I don't commit big sins. I commit little sins. I don't tell lies. I tell white lies. You know, I really don't even tell white lies. Preacher, I just stretch the truth a little bit. What's the difference? Understand? And so Daniel is saying when he's praying, he's saying, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. Is there anybody in this building that does not rebel against God at some point in time in your life? You've done it in the past week. You've done it in the past few days. You may have done it already this morning. You stopped to think about it. We're rebels. Human flesh rebels against God. Human flesh despises God. Human flesh does not want to walk the truth. The human flesh wants to do its own thing, go its own way, amen, live its own life. Even, he said, by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Have any of you ever have parted from the precepts, that's the Word of God, and his judgments, that's the Word of God? How many of us have departed from it? I catch myself getting cold and indifferent. And, we haven't been out there and got drunk and stole anything from the bank and all that, but we have departed from the precepts of God's Word many times in our life and rebelled, and our spouse didn't know nothing about it. Our children didn't know nothing about it, and we kept it hid from everybody, but we know that we have rebelled against God. Now, Daniel is starting his prayer in prayers and supplications. He's in serious-minded business here. He's not playing. I remember the old times when we used to come to church, and I'll say this plain as I know how to say it. I remember we used to go to church and we'd have prayer altars. And many times they have prayer altars outside the church and behind the church, and we'd meet together, and the men would go down and pray in the woods before you ever come to. How many remembers them times? Some of you do, some of you don't. Well, but that was the way it was back years ago. They would come to church and meet together. Then they got the place that they would meet in prayer rooms and have special places to come and meet. Meet a few minutes early, say 15 minutes or so early, and they would pray and seek the face of the Lord, have altar prayers, and that's gone for years and years and years. And what happens is God blesses those who started off in prayer like that. And then what's happened in these modern days, they won't do it now. What happens is this. We get into a rut, and sometimes it becomes a ritual. Even some of those back years ago would become rituals. And it's just something we did. I pastored one church. I went in to this church, and every Sunday morning they said, "Preacher, on every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock we meet for prayer." Men meet for prayer, the men, they meet. And they'd drive in on Saturday, on Sunday morning, come in the church, and have an altar prayer. And here they'd come in. Some of them come in their pajamas. I thought, "Lord have mercy, the house of God." Flip-flops and all that. We're coming into a holy place looking like that. And that bothered me. And they'd come in and get down to business. They'd say, "Get down to business." It was just a ritual. That's all it was. And they'd go back and get breakfast and come to church. And I thought, hey, we need to stop this and get down to business and do it right. Amen. And it was something else, just a ritual that just go through. I was in a church, in a Methodist church, and I was going to preach in the sunrise service that year. They had the Methodist church on one side of the river, and that's called the Methodist side, and they had the Baptist folks lived on the other side. Of course, that's mixed up on both sides, but the Baptist side was over there. One year the Baptist preacher preached to the Methodist church, and the next year the Methodist preacher preached in the Baptist church for sunrise. And that was a ritual I went through when I went there. It didn't last long. And anyhow, when I went there, it was just thank God it was the Baptist time to preach at the Methodist church, and that's the first time I'd ever preached in a Methodist church. And this fellow was a full of Methodists. And he had on his big robe with a big old cross around his neck. I couldn't have walked with that big old cross around my neck. But he had that garment. And we come walking in. And I'm walking down the aisle. He has the little procedure. And we walk down side by side to the altar. Here we are, coming down and fixing to start the service. And he gets down there. I don't know what they do at a Methodist church. And he just bowed down at the altar. Well, I said to myself, thank God, here's a praying method. I got down on my knees, and he's done gone. He just kind of bowed like that and went on. And I just thought we was going to pray, but we didn't pray. He went on, and then going up there to the top. I preached in that Methodist church, and anyhow, I thought of that. Sometimes our prayers are like that. Amen. There's not much to them. And I want my prayer life to be right. When I speak to God, I want Him to know me. I don't want to have to take 30 minutes to confess my sin. Amen. I want to try to stay clean every day and keep be prayed up. But some folks today, if you prayed 15 minutes, it'd take you 30 minutes to get it cleaned up before you get there. Now, that's maybe over-exaggerating it a little bit, but it might not be as quite as exaggerating as you think it is. Amen. Some of us couldn't pray because we have sin in our life. And we got to get to the place that we can get our prayers answered. We're going to talk about that when we get here or later in this lesson. Or not today, but later. And we'll find Daniel. He's in serious-minded prayer. He's serious with God here. So he goes on. He says, "We have sinned." Then in verse number 6, he said, "Neither have we." There's that "we" again. And that verse number 5 is all about "we." He's talking about the people of God. Daniel come to the place, he's in captivity. You got to remember where Daniel's at now. He's in captivity. The people are scattered from where their country is, and they're in bondage or in captivity because they have sinned. It is very noticeable. And you can't beat around the bush. The reason they're in captivity is because they have sinned. And Daniel recognizes that, and he's trying to get the people to see that. And he knows that before God, and he's admitting it. The first thing to ever get anything any way to God is to admit that we've got problems. Amen. We get down and say, "Lord, our neighbor, he's mean. And you need to touch him." Well, you're not going to tell him how you provoked him, but God already knows. God already knows why your neighbor treats you bad. You made faces at him when you drove by his house. You rocked his dog. You shot his cat. Amen? And then pray for your neighbor. Understand what I'm trying to say this morning? There's always a two sides to this thing, and we don't tell our side. But God knows it. Amen. Now here's what he said. He said, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. Can you picture this? He's saying, what we've done, Lord, is we have listened to the people. We haven't listened to the men of God. You sent us message after message after message, and we just defy what the preacher says. I realize they didn't have preachers like we have today in the book of Daniel here, but they had the prophets, they had the priest, and those were the ones that taught them the truth. They're the ones that taught them what the Bible said. They taught them the precepts and the judgments of God. And so as they would speak to them and tell them what to, and they warned them, listen, time after time after time, God sent his prophets to warn the people of Israel. They would continue to sin. Matter of fact, if you go back and look at it, you'll find that God's a gracious God by just the way he's treated Israel. God would get Israel in right standing with him, where he could talk to them, where they could fellowship with him. And then the next thing you know, they're back in sin again, and there's a distance between them and God. Look at the book of Judges. The book of Judges is one of them books, I'll tell you now, that you can see the grace of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God constantly. God give his grace to give them everything they needed and wanted, and then they would sin against him, and then God raise up a judge to go down and deliver them out of the problems and get them straightened out again. Time after time, God has done that. And so even Daniel's seen this, and he said, what's happened? Now we're in captivity. But what they've done is they have fail to hearken. Hearken means to listen. They fail to listen to the men of God. We're in America in the same shape today. We're failing to listen to the men of God. God don't just send preachers in to preach to take up space or to say words. Now some of them, that's about all they do, but I'm talking about God sends men to go preach the word of God, and he tells them to preach the book, and when they preach the book, God expects you to listen to that. Now, sometimes we say, we're selective. We hear certain things and we reject the others. We just want to be what we want to hear what we want to hear. And there are certain things, if it cuts against the grain, so to speak, if it goes against our way of thinking and our way of living, and if it gets into the ways that we do, and we see that it's wrong, then we'll begin to be argumentative and we'll begin to rebel against God and we'll reject God. And therefore, we're just like the Israelites. We will not hearken to what the men of God say. And so we got to be careful. So sometimes even God will send it. Have you ever heard the preacher say something in the pulpit and you particularly didn't care too much for it and didn't like it? You down on the inside knew it was right, but you just wasn't going to pay much attention to it. And then before the week's out, somebody else has said the same thing. And so maybe somebody, I've had that happen to me two or three times. I'm talking about in a week's time, where the same thing has come up. Amen. And I've even spoke to people and I said something about what we preached on the day before. They said, hey, that's what my preacher preached on yesterday. So you think God knows what he's doing? Sure. God knows exactly what you need. So he sends it. But we don't want to pay attention to it sometimes. So he said, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. We just haven't paid no attention to them. We haven't hearkened to them. We've heard them, but we haven't heard them. Does that make sense? It hit the ear, but it didn't retain it. It didn't get no further. It just went through, that's all. And we heard it. Now, verse number 7, he said, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. He's talking about the country. I could spend a whole long time on all these verses, but I need to get on. We've got several things I'd like to look at, and we're not going to have time. Time's catching me now. He said, verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. You see that we again? I believe that's where we need to be this morning. Now, we as a church, we need to pray for each other as a church. When we're praying for the church, we ought to say, Lord, we at Bible Way Baptist Church needs the hand of God. That's how we ought to pray. Now, there's a time that you need to get down, and I believe start off with you pray, Lord, I want you to touch my heart and forgive me and cleanse me. There's a time for personal prayer, right? We need to get down, and I believe we need to pray. Listen, I shouldn't pray for you till I get everything straightened out for me. And I mean, why should I ask God to do something when I'm not going to have the attitude to ask God to pray for you or to touch you when I'm not right? But when I get right with God and sins are gone in my life, then we begin to pray for the church and we say, Lord, we have walked away from you. Lord, we, and touch us, our church. We at Bible Way Baptist Church needs the hand of God. Then we pray for our country. Pray for our country, our leaders. And put ourselves in a place. We, America's walked off from God. Now, who done it? Amen. Everybody else but you? Huh? Alabama done it? South Carolina done it? They walked away from God. What happened to us? We've walked away from God too. Amen. So see, we're guilty. And so we need to have that attitude. And I stress that again and again. In verse 8 he said, O Lord, to us belong the confusion of face to our kings, our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord, our God, belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. See, constantly goes on. I'm going to go on. I want you to see that. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. We. Ladies and gentlemen, in my later years here, I have noticed that God touches me when I read these prayers of the people of God. There's something we need to go look at. These people that prayed, praying people the Bible, we ought to pattern our lives after them. You begin to see how they prayed, what they prayed, and the attitude they had. That'll change our prayer life. And so I believe even looking at Daniel here, had ought to change our prayer life here. He said, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. He's recognizing it. See, let me tell you something this morning. Everybody's talking about how America's being affected, how she's in trouble, the floods, the storms, everything we got, terrorism, everything. And we're blaming that on everybody under the sun. And I'm don't get me wrong, I believe we ought to call it what it is. We see, but why are we having so much turmoil in America? Is it because we're so good and they're so bad? No, it's because we've gone bad. Amen. Amen. You want the protection of God on America? Let's come back to God. Amen. And it's going to take God's people first to get there. I'm going to tell you something. I've watched a bad attitude. If you're not careful as a Christian, you'll get a bad attitude toward things. I believe we ought to be hateful against sin. I believe that. Not the sinner. I believe we ought to hate sin, love the sinner. I believe we ought to hate sin, love the sinner. Amen. Okay. I'll just check and see if you went to sleep on me. Listen, I believe we ought to hate sin. We ought to despise it. Amen. We ought to despise sin. I've seen what it does. I see what it's doing. And I see how it's ruining our country. And when we see that, but I want to tell you something. I don't want to be part of the problem. Somehow I want to be a part of the restoration of it. At least I don't want myself to get involved in. I believe in calling sin by its name. I believe in pointing it out, point blank, standing against it, fighting it, tooth and toenail. But I don't believe we ought to hate the sinner so bad that we get to the place that we can't pray for them. We ought to pray for them. But if we get right, if God's people, if my people, remember that's what we used last Sunday morning, if my people, which are called by my name, he's talking to his people. He's talking to you and I today as a church. He's talking to the Israelites there, but he's talking to you and I as a church today. We are the keys to getting this country straightened out. Amen. It's not the politicians. They don't know how to do it. They don't even know God, much less know how to straighten out the country. And it'd be amazing this morning what would happen if God's people get right with God, that the present president that we've got now could be like Balaam and go out to curse the people of God, and instead of curse them, bless them. God knows how to turn that. Amen. Now, I see some of you saying, I don't believe that this morning, but it's true. God knows how to move everything in the right direction. Now, these Israelites were in bondage because they had forsaken and forgotten and failed to hearken to God. Amen. Well, let's read on, because I want to get down to, I may have to skip some of this in just a minute. Matter of fact, I believe we will. Let's go to verse number 17. He's still praying. You'll read the whole prayer when you get home. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. Now, God knows all what's going on. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. He said, 19th verse, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Now, what's interesting is notice what happens. Prayer ain't much if it don't have some results. I prayed a lot of prayers and didn't get no results. How many have been there? All right. Hey, isn't that so? Have you ever prayed and it seemed like God shut the heavens up and you ain't heard nothing? You prayed a lot of prayers and you ain't heard nothing yet. You said, well, God answered them. He just refused to give us what we wanted. Well, he's talking about this now. We prayed Daniel's prayed, and now watch what's happened. Here's the results of his prayer, verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying, amen, don't tell me God can't show you something while you're praying. And what's that next word? Let's not forget that one. Confessing. Isn't that what his whole prayer right here was? Confessing. Read it. Read it over again. It was a continual confessing. My sin and the sin of my people, Israel. See, there it is, personal and then for the people. And presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or the evening sacrifice. Now what happens here is Gabriel is the archangel of God, one of the archangels of God. He got a visit from heaven. Now, ain't it good to get down and pray and then heaven visit you before you get up off your knees? I've been there. Amen. That's the reason I know it's a blessing. Some of you have never been there. You don't know what you're missing, and you don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm glad, thank God, I've had the touch of God before I've gotten up from praying. Then it said here, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And then he starts talking about the 70 weeks, which I'm not going to get into today. We've talked about that before. And this is prophecy. And Daniel, while he was praying and confessing his sin and the sins of the people, he got some results to his prayers, and heaven visited him through the angel Gabriel, and give him some prophetic scriptures, that brother, or keys. This is key. What I'm talking about here, these 70 weeks are keys. And brother, I'll tell you what, you throw that part of the Daniel out and you won't understand the book of Revelation like you should. And these 70 weeks are important. And we've gone over that. I know we have, because I got my Bible all marked up, and I know I've preached it here. But we know that his prayer, was successful. It was personal before God. And that's the kind of prayers that we need to have. And I would to God this morning that I could pray like Daniel and get results. And I challenge you this morning, this Sunday school class, to try to work on your praying that you'll get results from it, that you'll see the hand of God. Now, in a few later lessons I'm going to give you, we're going to talk about why we pray for our loved ones and they don't get saved and so forth. We'll talk about that. What can we do to do that? What can we do to get it to happen? And we're going to talk about some things. I believe our prayer life is one of the things that's key this morning to getting things done with God. That's what God intended it to be. Our prayer life is for us to stay in communion with the Father, with Him. And we don't do enough of it. And so therefore we don't stay heavenly minded. The more you pray, the more heavenly minded you'll become. The more you pray, the more power of God you'll have. The less you pray, the less power of God you have. Right? More power, more prayer. Less prayer, less power. And that's the way it is. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can reach heaven when we say, "Our Father, you listen, you hear us." Thank you, Lord, that you're on the throne. You know us personally. Father, we don't have to introduce ourselves every time. Thank you that you're a God enough to know, Lord, all there is to know about us and even more. And Lord, here we are this morning needing a touch from heaven. I pray you'd move upon this service, touch it in a special way. Every song that's sung, every heart that cries out to God, that and it's nearest to you, that and it, Lord, is wayward, I pray, God, you'd speak in the message. Have your will in your way. Touch hearts and lives. Lord, move upon our heart. May we see you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.